Meet Reed L. Rosenthal, rancher, number one best-selling award-winning author, and unabashedly, unapologetically, on the right side of the outstanding issues of our generation. But don't try and fence him in. Sometimes his positions will surprise you, because Reed is definitely his own man with his own opinions. You might love him, you might hate him, but you won't be able to stop listening. Step over to the right side with Reed.
Howdy, folks. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal with this week's On the Right Side radio show. Thanks for joining me. This is going to be a short show. It's going to be short for several reasons. Number one, it's elk hunting season, and that is very important. And number two, I am working feverishly on the second novel of my 8-novel series, number one best-selling and multiple award-winning Threads West and American Saga. By the way, if you haven't seen it, we have several new websites up. Check out ThreadsWestAmericanSagaSeries.com. That's ThreadsWestAmericanSagaSeries.com. Have all sorts of fun stuff going on there and an outline of the entire series of books, the last of which ends in the real-time contemporary West, and the first of which came out last year and has been a gang burner, begins in 1855. Historical Western with a nice little dash of sizzling romance. In fact, the book won 3 romance awards in 2010 and 2011, including Best Romance of the Year from the Indies in May in New York. It also won Best Western, and it also won Best Historical Fiction in May in New York. So, kind of exciting. Anyway, I think you'll like the site, and make sure you sign up, and we'll be sending out periodic, very sparse. Don't worry, your inbox will not be crowded. Sign up at the site for updates on the books and all sorts of contests that the publisher is putting together for the release of Book 2, and some special offers and other fun stuff. I'm going to talk about today, briefly, Occupy Wall Street. You know, the movement that you've heard about on the news. And by the way, when you hear about it on the news, it's very different depending upon what channel you listen to. The more liberal channels like MSNBC, you know, it's rah, 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 and, you know, the shivering demonstrators stood in the early morning dawn with their candles flickering, blah, 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 blah. And then Fox, of course, says that this is a movement that's going to peter out and it has no coherent message. So it's, you know, the two extremes. The bottom line is that Occupy Wall Street is not a lot of numbers of people. It's in a lot of places, about 250 American cities, and supposedly, according to the more liberal media, has spread to other countries around the world. In fact, I think Diane Sawyer said it's spread to 1,000 countries. Hey, Diane, there's only 197 countries on the planet, so you might want to check your math. In any event, these folks only number in the hundreds or thousands. I think the largest crowd has been about 10, 12,000 on certain days in New York. And, you know, that's pretty small. That's a pretty small crowd, particularly for New York City. Contrast that with Glenn Beck's almost million-person get-together that he held, I believe, a year ago last August. Contrast that with many of the Tea Party rallies, which draw anywhere from 30 to 50,000. Although many are smaller. And you can see that this is a very vocal minority. The emphasis is on the word minority. Why are they demonstrating? Well, they're demonstrating for 3 reasons. Number one, they're being agitated to demonstrate. We're going to talk about that in a minute. Number two, they're being funded. Thank you, George Soros. Yes. You know, wherever you have a liberal organization like MoveOn.org, you know, Progressives for America, et cetera, if you trace it back, you will come back through the Tides Foundation or another one of his entities to George Soros. George Soros is bitter about many things. He's bitter about the world order, despite it made him a billionaire. He is bitter about Western civilization. He is highly anti-Semitic, although he comes from a Jewish background, and a very interesting guy. But he's funding these deals, And funding includes, and you've probably seen this on TV, a number of people, including ads on Craigslist, which, by the way, have now been whitewashed, advertising for $300 to $600 a week if you come down and demonstrate. There's been a number of caught on camera deals where guys are parading up and down and bobbing their signs, down with capitalism, we hate the banks, whatever the signs say, and you ask them, why did you make that sign? And they answer you in Spanish. And then you ask them in Spanish, can you read that sign? And they go, no. So think about that. You know, a good portion of this demonstration so far is paid for and orchestrated. What are they saying? Well, you know, it depends which day and who you talk to about what they're saying. But here's the four common threads. Number one, you have the, shall we say, more radical part of this radical group standing on stumps and exhorting the crowd to revolution. Number two, you have just about everybody in the crowd saying they want more free stuff. We want free education and we want free food and we want to make a living wage even if we don't work and blah, 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 blah. Then we have almost all of them decrying the banks and the capitalistic system, particularly Wall Street. I guess they don't know, since Obama has already expressed his support for and is aiding and abetting and fomented this deal to begin with. I guess Obama was the largest recipient of Wall Street donations in 2008 of any candidate ever. Goldman Sachs actually put $700,000 in one way, shape, or form into his campaign coffers. Now, while that's not the $400 million that the unions put into his coffers, that's still a nice chunk of money. So it's pretty interesting that on one hand, these people say they're Obama supporters. On the other hand, they decry the banks, and they fail to make the synapse that the banks are among Obama's biggest supporters. And by banks, I mean the Wall Street, the large investment banks. We'll just have to talk about that another day. Then they have this message that they are the 99%. You can hear that chant everywhere. They are the 99%. They represent 99% of the people in America. Well, I don't know what 99% they're talking about, but you know, I'm not in the 1% of the elite. I'm not a millionaire or a billionaire, and I ain't in their 99%. I don't think you are either. So this is so much hogwash. Now, since recent polls have shown that in America, only about 20% of the population considers themselves hard left, communist, socialist, you know, avant-garde, foaming at the mouth, progressive, which is pretty much socialist or communist. So 80% of the country is not, yet they represent 99% of the country. I'll let you do the math on that, but it doesn't add up for me. So much hogwash and hocus pocus. I'm sure you've seen the pictures of these folks on TV. You know, pictures are worth 10,000 words, and I will just let the pictures speak for themselves. If you haven't, tune in to like any nightly broadcast on just about any channel, and you will see pictures of the demonstrators. I think Fox shoots the most ragged, and MSNBC goes out of its way to shoot people who are halfway presentable, but pictures do say a lot. Many of these people aren't working. They don't want to work. They are what they are. What they want is free stuff from you and from me. And they want the government to collect it and then redistribute it to them. That's called communism. Now, Mr. Obama fomented this whole thing. Do you remember his speech 2 or 3 weeks ago? It was to the black caucus, and he was talking about, you know, stop complaining, take off your bedroom slippers, put on your marching boots, blah, 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 blah. Well, you know, people are putting on their marching boots. If you remember, if you go back to my show the first part of September, this is before you heard about this literally anywhere else. I mean, it was not on the mainstream media at all. I told you about the unrest that was planned and the attempts to occupy Wall Street planned for September 17th. I gave you a fair warning. And my job is to dig out little tidbits that you won't hear anywhere else, and hopefully I'm doing a good job of that for you. Now, most of the pundits say that, you know, this is, well, if you go to MSNBC, this is going to be the movement that rocks the world. If you go to Fox, you know, this is going to peter out sometime by November. You know, I hope, I think MSNBC is wrong. I hope Fox is right, but I don't think they are. I think this movement is here to stay. It's here to stay because it has funding from very deep pockets, all of them progressive, communist, socialist, or worse. It has the backing now of Barack Obama, Nancy Pelosi, you know, the same Nancy Pelosi who harangued the Tea Parties as a AstroTurf organization, and other top Democrats. Now, I think it's dangerous that the Democrats are aligning themselves with this whole movement. I think that's going to backfire on them in the elections because these folks do not represent the 99%. However, it does give you a window into what they're thinking. You know, progressives came within an inch of getting what they wanted, which is a socialist utopia. I mean, in their mind, socialism works. To each according to their needs, from each according to their abilities. You know, a famous saying of Karl Marx. That's what these people believe. I mean, they really do believe it. And, of course, they'll be at the top of the heap, directing, controlling everybody else, and, of course, getting paid handsomely, either above board or under the table, for doing their mischievous little deeds and events, for pulling your puppet strings. But if you take a look at the last 3 years, let's take the EPA. You know, every regulation which supposedly adds to your security and to your health takes away your freedom. You do understand that, right? Thomas Jefferson said that he who sacrifices liberty for security shall wind up with neither, give or take a few words. He is right. He is right. You think about that saying from 230 years ago from one of the founders of our country. As our individual freedoms have been eroded through regulations and through the ever-watchful, ever-growing eye of Big Daddy, i.e. the government, so too have they been building a shadow government, although that's been going on for 20 or 30 years while the rest of us, the 99%, slept. Over the next few weeks, I'm going to talk about the czars in Obama's White House. Boy, you will be shocked. I mean, you will be shocked at who this man has consciously, with premeditation, and intentionally surrounded himself with. If that doesn't tell you who these people are, nothing will. Stay tuned for that. But a shadow government has been built. The Democratic Party is no longer, you know, the blue-collar Democrats of the Reagan era or of the era of your parents when many of your parents may have been Democrats, conservative Democrats. That doesn't exist anymore. The Democratic Party has been taken over by the Progressive Party. The Democratic Party is kind of this facial shell. It is kind of the outward projection. You know, you're not going to get very far in America by saying you're communist or socialist. But if you can do everything under the tent of a well-recognized establishment, i.e. the Democratic Party, you can go a long ways before people understand what's going on and say, hey, it's time to stop, which is, of course, where the country's at right now. This election that's coming up is a watershed, and the progressives know it. Okay. I will not call the Democratic Party the Democratic Party for the rest of this broadcast. It is the Progressive Party. The Progressive Party knows it. They came so close to having control, and now they see it slipping away from them, starting with the 2010 elections and the Tea Party, which is why they bastardize the Tea Party every chance they get. And what they're trying to do is they are, number one, trying to create excitement for their grassroots and motivate their voting base. Now, at the same time, I think they're alienating the rest of the country, and I hope they are. Number two, these people will take power by force. Do not kid yourself. You look at history And the coming to power of any socialist or communist government, and it has not been pretty. It has not been quiet. It has been ugly. Check out Russia after the czars. Check out any of the Middle Eastern countries right now. You know, the Arab Spring? The Arab Spring is merely, as is Occupy Wall Street, a triumvirate of forces. Anti-American, union, and progressive. In the Middle East, you also have extreme Islamists. But I think you probably have that here, too. There's been some talk about, in fact, that this movement could change the fabric of America and the structure. And you know, it's been rumored that there's actually elements of the KGB, that's the Russian Secret Service, that are fomenting unrest on the streets. You know, just like our CIA does in other countries, now it's being done to us. So think about that unholy alliance. George Soros, his money, and his twisted ideas about America, the West, Semites, etc. Plus unions, who take their dues mandatorily, use it how they wish, and invested $400 million to elect a progressive in 2008. Then the rabble, which is being used, which constitutes the uprising. I call it an uprising. It's not an uprising yet. Which constitutes the Occupy Wall Street demonstrators. Mix in Code Pink and some of the other wildly to the left groups who are in there kind of doing the administrative organizing of this group. And, you know, you have a recipe for an ugly brew. I would urge you folks. Number one, let me tell you that my listening audience has been doubling every week for the past 5 weeks. I really thank you for that. More importantly, I don't do this for fame, notoriety, or anything else. Yes, I plug my books once in a while because I'm proud of them. And they carry the American spirit message, which I'm proud of. And they're about America, which I love. But that's not the reason for this radio show. The reason for this radio show, and I could put John Smith on the moniker rather than Reed Lance Rosenthal, is to help you to think, to bring to you certain facts which you're not going to find anywhere else, and probably in advance of where you're going to see them on any mainstream media if you ever do. And number three, to prepare you, because we need to be prepared. I would urge you to go back into my archive shows. It's right there on the page. You can click on archive, see all the shows. There's a lot of good ones. But the one I really recommend that you listen to is the one three, 4 weeks ago where I interviewed Nancy Stewarts, who's terrific, an advisor to five presidents. She has been, you know, she was the consumer, chairman of the Consumer Product Safeties Council, and her living right now is keeping people safe and telling them how they can do that. We had a great discussion on what happens if the unthinkable happens. I don't mean a hurricane and I don't mean a flood. I mean the unthinkable, like the banks don't open, like you don't have communications, like the social unrest you see in Occupy Wall Street becomes more violent and more widespread. And I'd really like you to listen to that show. I think that it'll be valuable for you. You know, there's some other things which have come out lately. Lee Bellinger. And Lee Bellinger is a pretty good, you can Google him up, but he kind of thinks in advance too, and he's all about personal safety and preparedness, and he generally has good points. You can also check into the info at campaigntodefeatobama.com. Info at campaigntodefeatobama.com. Number one, they're asking for some support, and they seem to be doing a good job. That's totally up to you if you want to support them. But they also have really timely, usually in advance of mainstream media, tidbits. One of the things which I want you to do is I want you to step back from your normalcy bias. Do you know what normalcy bias is? That means the sun has always risen, so it's going to rise tomorrow. Now take that thought and apply it to your life. Hey, you know, tomorrow's a school day. I'm going to take the kids to school. I'm going to go to work. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to see my friends on Wednesday night. I have girls' night out on Thursday night. I'm watching football with my buddies on Sunday. Look, please take a few minutes, either on your own or with your family, and sit back and say, what is our normalcy bias? What do we take for granted in everyday life? What do we think could not possibly change? And then, as an exercise, think about what would happen if it did and what you would do. Please do that. My personal thoughts on the Occupy Wall Street crowd is that it's going to spread. I think it's going to stay a small minority, but a lot of the press is going to whip it up into something much bigger than it is. You know, sometimes perception is more important than fact. I think that these people are going to become increasingly more violent. Their rhetoric has grown increasingly more violent over the last 3 or 4 weeks. If you notice, just in the last week, you now see people on TV spouting revolution. You now hear about these people marching on the private residences of bankers, etc. Of course, they march right past Soros' house. And, you know, it's being ratcheted up. And the flames are being fanned very irresponsibly and very unpatriotically. Did you hear that word, Mr. Obama? You've used it. Yes, unpatriotically. The fans are being flamed by the Progressive Party, i.e. the Democrats. Because the Progressive Party is desperate to maintain power and they see it slipping away. They know Obama's in deep trouble for 2012. They know they could lose the Senate. They know that conservatives could gain more seats in the House. And they really, really, really don't want that to happen. They don't want to see their fine work like Obamacare and the talk about taxes and the millionaires and billionaires and the financial regulatory reform by Dodd-Frank, two more progressives, that are choking off and bankrupting Main Street banks and affecting your business and employment in this country. They don't want to see any of that stop, because you've got to remember, their plan is for this thing to crater. They don't want this system to survive. They want this system to crater. A number of months ago, I referred you to Cloward and Piven. Cloward and Piven are two Columbia University professors. They were actually in the picture with Bill Clinton when he signed the Moto Voto Act, which kind of was the entree to Acorn and lots of other bad stuff. But they wrote a thesis, a doctrine, if you will, called Orchestration of Crisis. You can Google them right up. Cloward, C-L-O-W-A-R-D, and Piven, P-I-V-E-N. Columbia University professors, Orchestration of Crisis. You know, it's not very long, but you should read it. And I think when you're done, you're going to lean back in your chair and go, I get it. And Occupy Wall Street is part of the three-pronged approach that these people, the progressives, have to try and crater this system and then rebuild their socialist utopia on the ashes. If you ever heard Van Jones, avowed communist, socialist, revolutionary, you know, this is an anti-American guy from day one, who was the green jobs czar under Obama. I think we're all familiar now with Light Squared, Solaron, Solar Point, you know, all the scandals that are coming to light. Guess when they started? With Van. You know, Van likes wasting money. Because the bottom line is, the more money you waste, the more broke we are. And the more broke we are, the more chances there is of our system imploding. And the more chances there are of our system imploding, the more chances there are of they getting their system in place. That's the deal here, folks. That is the deal here. Think about your normalcy bias. Step back from it and think. Think. Connect these dots. Connect what the president and the other high-ranking commissars of the Progressive Party say. Think about the actions that then originate. You know, they have the speech about take your slippers off, put your marching boots on. Suddenly you have the Occupy Wall Street movement. Now you have the guys, the puppeteers behind the scenes funding it. Think about all this. None of this is an accident. There are no coincidences. My personal opinion is that Occupy Wall Street is going to grow. These people are going to become increasingly more agitated, increasingly more violent, because, you know, what's really dangerous is somebody who thinks that they have a right, that they are entitled, and that you have what they're entitled to. That's not a good recipe. Not good at all. Think about the groups that are behind them, the Code Pink groups. Google them up. Boy, that's scary. KGB agents, it's rumored. At the same time that Putin is coming back to power in Russia, and Russia has lost virtually all of the democratic strides it has made. Think about the anti-Semitic message. If you want, Google Occupy Wall Street Los Angeles anti-Semitic, and you'll see that the anti-Semitic message is starting to ring through these groups of people, if you will. So I'm bringing this to your attention. Okay, I brought it to your attention, I believe, before anybody else did, way back around the 1st of September. It has come to pass. I am bringing to your attention the fact that this could grow. It will never be the majority of people. It won't even be close to a majority of the minority. But it can wreak havoc with our system, and that's what they want it to do. And it can be dangerous for people who are in proximity of these protests. And I want you to think about that. So, I'm sorry that this has not been an uplifting conversation. I thank you all for obviously passing this show on to your friends. Please keep doing so. And I have some great shows coming up in the next 2 weeks. The Shadow Government and the Czars. I'm actually going to try and contact one of the mucky mucks from one of the Occupy Wall Street groups, whether it's New York, L.A., Chicago, whatever, and see if I can't interview them. That should be a lively interview. If you thought my interview last week with Veronica, Dr. Veronica Anderson, was lively, I can only imagine what that interview will be like. But I'll let you know on that. In the meantime, I want you to have a great week. I want you to really think. I want you to remove yourself from the normalcy bias. Make it a fun mental exercise for you and your family. And I want you to start looking at the dots out there. Understand that they are connected. And understand how and why they are connected. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio.
For more information about Reed and his work, please click on the globe in front of you on the webtalkradio.net page. You can also click on his book, Land for Love and Money, and his new best-selling historical western series, Threads West, an American Saga. Watch for the second volume of the saga, Maps of Fate, coming soon. And, of course, if you've missed any shows, just click on Show Archives to catch up. We look forward to seeing you here again next week for another episode of Reed L. Rosenthal on the Right Side.